Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show on the Land of Israel Network, broadcasting today from beautiful Beit El, where I'm at a beautiful matzah baking factory. Two days before Passover, and this is my many year in a row tradition that I bake with the community of Ma'ale Adumim here in Beit El. That's right, we join the Ma'ale Adumim crew. We come to Beit El and we bake matzahs. My great grandparents were bread and matzah bakers in the town of Ostrowice, Ostrowca, in Poland before the Holocaust. And today I continue that tradition of baking, and I man the oven. And that also means that I really feel the heat of the oven. A lot of deep thoughts go through my mind about the Holocaust, about the rebirth of the Jewish people. In fire, Jerusalem was destroyed. In fire, it will be rebuilt. About tradition, about the baking of matzahs. I baked with my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe David Tendler, matzah. And that whole atmosphere of this incredible food called matzah, which is really some kind of informational transference through the generations. That's what the matzah is in part, a narrative tool. It's in part not just a food, but is also a tool to tell a tale and to remind us of the Exodus and who we are as a people. That's a very, very powerful thing. And we bake that matzah. Buying matzah is one thing. Anybody who's ever slaughtered an animal or caught a fish or grew a vegetable knows that when you eat that, it's very different when you understand where it came from, the self-sacrifice, the sacrifice of the animal, or the sacrifice that it took to grow that vegetable. And it's just a completely different taste. So too with matzah. My daughter is with me today here, and she is part of this experience of baking matzahs. Today's show is a very special show, and that is actually something that I'm not smart enough to do, which is to give over a model Seder. Now, this lesson is not mine. It is rather Rabbi Eli Mansour, one of the great teachers of our time in the Sephardic Syrian SY tradition. And Rabbi Eli Mansour is just a very dynamic, brilliant, and true Torah-gifted person. And he decided a few years ago to give a model Seder and to record it. Now, what's funny about this class is that it kind of got lost on the internet. It only appears in one place on the internet in any normal way. But there's really just no way to the site is just not a very good site to listen to. It doesn't work well. And I tried to download it. It doesn't download, etc. And so what I did was I listened to Ben Bresky, who's editing the show today. But I listened to his advice, and I took a tablet, recorded, played the audio from the tablet into my audio recorder, and then took that to the computer, edited it, uploaded it, and Ben Bresky is going to stick it into the show today. This is an hour and a half of Rabbi Eli Mansour. Now, I didn't get permission to record this and put this back up, but I'm sure that Rabbi Eli Mansour will either forgive me or even be happy with the fact that I am replaying his incredible hour and a half class. Now, you may not understand all the Hebrew terminology or the Sephardic pronunciations. That doesn't matter, because you'll understand the gist of it. Just listen through it. It's worth it. This is Rabbi Eli Mansour on the Seder. And Seder means order, which he talks about right in the beginning. So the order is, this is the intro right now. Now we're going to put in Rabbi Eli Mansour, and I'll be back from the matzah baking factory at the end. But I really believe that this is a very worthwhile class for you to listen to. So enjoy Rabbi Eli Mansour on the Seder, and I'm going back to baking the matzahs here in beautiful Beit El. I'll be back. But right now, enjoy Rabbi Eli Mansour.
We are now about to do one of the most important things that could be done in preparation for the night of Pesach, specifically Leileh HaSeder. I say Leileh HaSeder because us Jews in the diaspora, we have the Seder two nights. The Seder, which literally means an order. It's called an order because it follows a format. As we have the words that we say customarily in the beginning of the Seder, Kadesh, Urhas, Karpas, Yahas, Magid, Ruhsam, Mutzi, Matzah, Maror, Korech, Shulhan, Orech, Safun, Barech, Halel, Nirtzah. This is a Seder. It follows a program. Each one of these words has a whole story behind it. if you're not going to prepare, people come to the Seder and they don't know what Kaddish is. They don't know how to make Urchas. They don't know what the Karpas is. Everybody knows what Shulchan Orech is. That they know. But when it comes to all the other details of the Halachot, they're not familiar. It's unfortunate. And they go their whole lives. When it comes to Leila Seder, instead of the father telling the child what's supposed to be done, like it says in the Pasuk, V'higatal l'bincha, instead happens the opposite. The child tells the father, V'higatal l'avicha b'yom ahu l'mor. This is not proper. A father or the leader of the Seder must know all the halachot. And he must take control at each position, at each juncture, in order to lead the family. We do this, we sit, we lean over here, we drink this amount, we eat this amount, and so on and so forth. So tonight, because I was asked many times, whether it's from people in the community or people online that send us questions, Rabbi, could you give us an understanding of how to do the Leila Seder? So we accepted upon ourselves this year, Tavshin Ayin Gimel, to come together a week before Pesach in order to make, like we used to do in the yeshiva, a model Seder, where we go through the different motions with a visual so everybody can see it and understand exactly et ma'aseh asher ya'asun, the actions that should be performed. But before we get to the Seder, you have to know about Erev Pesach. The Gemara says on Rabbi Akiva, never did Rabbi Akiva make an announcement in the yeshiva that everybody should go home. Why should he make such an announcement? He wants everybody to learn. Except 2 days a year, Rabbi Akiva would come into the midrash, he would bang on the teba, Rabotai, go home. Which 2 days? Erev Yom Kippurim and Erev Pesach. Erev Yom Kippurim, because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva saw all the rabbis learning. They said, if I don't stop them, they're not going to go eat. They're not going to be able to eat the Seudat HaMafseket. They're not going to be able to fast tomorrow. So he would make an announcement, Rabotai, close the books, go eat the Seudat HaMafseket so you could fast tomorrow. The second day that he used to do this was Erev Pesach. Why? Erev Pesach, he wanted the children to go to sleep. So he wanted the fathers to go home to put their kids to sleep to rest. Why? Because the purpose of the Seder is for the children. If the children are running around all day and they're busy playing, by the time Leila Seder comes, especially now that we change the clock forward an hour, so it's late to Seder. Maybe we don't start the Seder until we come from home to Bet Knesset at 8:30. By the time we get everything in order, it could be 9:15, 9 o'clock. The children are tired. And therefore, by the time we get to the main parts of the Sederim, the children fell asleep already. What's the purpose of the whole Seder? Where's Bincha? Bincha's in Halamot, in the dreams. So therefore, it's incumbent of parents to make sure that their children sleep on Erev Pesach. Not only that, it would be a good idea for the adults to take a rest also. This is Halakha. Erev Pesach, lie down for an hour in order that you should get your strength, in order that when you make the Seder, you'll be able to be with full energy. Especially if you'd be able to make it available that the woman should be able to take a rest on Erev Pesach. Usually, the woman rests during the Seder itself. Why? Because the whole month, they're running, and they don't stop. The first time the lady sits is when? After the Kiddush, she sits down, and she falls asleep. And they're haggard. So therefore, it's proper in order to tell the woman. Also, if you can alleviate from them the stress of the Erev Pesach, to let them rest a little, they work hard enough for them to be awake at this great moment. Good, that's Erev Pesach. Furthermore, Shulchan Aruch writes, Yisader Shulchano Mebe'od Yom. You must have your table set from already before. That means when the men come home from the Bet Knesset, the table is set already. Not that when they come home, okay, bring the plates, bring the kosot, bring the napkins, bring the forks. Now you're setting up the table. Why? Because they want you to make the kiddush miyad, immediately, in order that the children don't go to sleep. So that's a mitzvah on Erev Pesach, to make sure the table is set. Now the key of a good seder is the preparation. As much preparation you put into the Seder, that's how good it flows. But if a person's going to come to the Seder and start preparing when there's 50 people around the table, it's too confusing. It's too much traffic. So the table is set. But Maran writes also, V'yachin makom moshavo. You must prepare where you're going to sit. Because the sitting on the night of Pesach is not like regular sitting. There's laws of Heseba. Now, if the table, sometimes people have many guests. Now there's all bridge chairs next to each other all around. And now you sit down. Yoshvim sefufim. They're sitting like this. Heseba. Heseba. You can't. There's a girl on one side of him. There's a girl on the other side of him. Now, Yehudim haitah orah v'simcha v'sason v'ikar. Now he's surrounded by two girls. How's he going to make a seba on the lady next to him? Now he's stuck. But the rabbi said, you have to make a seba. But this is a sur. There's a thing over here. So now you have to prepare where you're going to sit in order that this room, that you'll be able to make the seba on the left side. What type of matzot should you use for the seder? Matzah shemura avodat yad. Matzah shemura, handmade. Hacham ben Sion did not like the machine-made matzot for the seder. Therefore, you should get handmade matzah shemura with a good hechsher. Sfaradim use the soft matzot. As long as you have a good hechsher, matov manaim. Some have the custom to eat the hard matzot like we eat. Matov manaim, so long as it's matzah shemura, it says on the box, avodat Yad. Okay. Now, in truth, we don't eat like they used to eat in the olden days. In the olden days, they used to eat on the floor. If you saw the old pictures, in the Middle East especially, they would have a rug on the floor with like little couches or little pillows, and they would sit on the floor. So for them, leaning was a normal way of eating. They would lie down like this on the pillow, like melachim, and they would drink and they would eat. Today, however, we sit in chairs. So there is one rabbi, the Ravaya, he said, today there's no law of leaning. It's not comfortable for us to lean. What do you lean? We're sitting in a chair. Now you're going to start leaning like this? It makes it awkward. However, Maran, Rabbi Yosef Karo, pushed away this opinion of the Ravaya and said that even in our day, it's a mitzvah and a mandate to lean. When do we lean? We lean, of course, during the Arba Kosot and at the times that we eat the matzah. If one did not lean, he does not fulfill his obligation. For example, he made the kiddush, he drank it. They tell him, hey, you forgot to lean. Ah, you didn't remind me. Okay, have to drink again? Yeah, the rabbi said you have to drink again. Okay, they pour him another cup. After he drank the first cup, he got a little high already. He drank the second cup, he forgot to lean again. What does the halakha say? The third cup. The guy already in kiddush had arba kosot because he forgot to lean. Halakha says you have to drink 100 cups until you lean, you're not yotze. That's why it's incumbent upon the Baal HaSeder, the one that's running the show, to make an announcement before the kiddush. Rabotai, don't forget to lean. What happens? The guy who's making the seder, he doesn't have a seder. So right after he says, Shayanu ki yamanu viki yanu, laze manaze. The guy in the back is Now everybody's heeing and eyeing. Nobody knows what they're doing. So you have to make the announcement before. And you have to make sure that your chair is suitable for the heseba. Now, heseba is always on the left. Hesebat simol, where I'm sitting, the heseba would be this way. Now you have to be careful, because what happens is, the people are sitting across from each other on the table. So I don't know which way to go. So I look at the guy across from me. So I go, oh, he's going this way, so I go this way also. He doesn't know directions. The guy across from you is going on the left side, but it's your right. And therefore, you can't follow the guy across from you what he's doing. You're going to get mixed up. Therefore, before some people, they get mixed up between right and left. So you have to prepare yourself. Hey, which one is the right side? Which one's the left side? The Hakamim say there's two reasons why you lean on the left. One reason is for dangerous purposes, for sakana. The Gemara says there's two pipes. There's a kanei neveshet. We're worried if you lean on the right side, the food will go down the windpipe. Chas v'shalom, if the food goes down on the windpipe, sakana, be'en ba mitzvah. So the rabbi said lean on the left. But there's another reason. If you're going to lean on the right, most people are righties. That means they eat with their right hand. If you're leaning on the right, how are you going to eat? Your hand is, you're leaning on your right hand. How's he going to eat? Eat with his left hand? He doesn't eat with his left hand. He's not ambidextrous. So the Hakamim said, in order you be able to eat, you lean on your left and you take the food with your right hand. Now you're going to ask me a question. Now there's two reasons. What about a lefty? The poor guy, if he's a lefty, so now you're telling him, lean on your left side. How's he going to eat? His hand is stuck over here. Doesn't matter. The rabbi said, since there's a subject of danger, even a lefty has to lean on his left side because it's more important that we don't put his windpipe in the wrong, the food goes down the wrong pipe. So therefore we tell him, lean like everybody else. Now how do you lean? I'm sorry to tell you, most people do not know how to lean. Some people, they take it, the cup, here's the course, take any course, doesn't matter. Take for example, they go like this. Is this good? Is this fast and more enough? A little more, till you crack your neck off. What's the guy doing over there? Sar ba'le hayim. That's not leaning over, leaning your head. Tilting your head means nothing. Some people go like this. They move their body a little to the right or to the left like this, they're leaning. I'm leaning. That's not leaning. As long as you're not leaning on something, it's not called leaning. You see here, nothing. Your hand is not on the table. My back is not touching the back of the seat. I'm just going like this. This is not leaning. This is tilting. There's no din in tilting. There's a din in haseba. Haseba has to be either you have a back of the chair. So I have the back of the chair, so I lean to the back of the chair. Hakam ben Siyon says, it's not considered leaning until I lean 45 degrees to the left. You don't have to bring a protractor to the seder now and start measuring 45, it's 47, 46, do it again. It means, you understand, if you go all the way down, it's 90 degrees. So therefore, somewhere in the middle like this over here, is a proper heseba. But you see, I'm leaning against the back of the chair. That's why it's good. Or, let's say they don't have a back of the chair or it's a bench or something like that. So then you lean on the table itself. You lean on the table itself. Or in the olden days, they would lean on the guy next to them. Okay, today you're not going to do that. But the point is, it must be a heseba that you yotzei yedehova. If you do not lean 45 degrees on something, that's why some people put pillows, which is a good minhag, on their chin in order to give them a... Or they set themselves up. But if it's too crowded to sit there, you're not going to have elbow room. You're not going to have... That's why Maran says you should set your place where you're going to sit before the seder. So you know exactly, you test it out. You go sit over there, you see exactly how you can maneuver, how you're going to sit over there, and that's the way we do it. Now, there is a question about ladies making haseba. Some opinions say the ladies do not make haseba. Unless she's considered isha hashuva, unless she's considered an important woman. Shulchan Aruch says all our women are hashuvot, they're all significant, and therefore the halakha, the woman, means the wife, the girls, also have the minhag to make the haseba. We start the seder by singing the whole entire Kaddishut Hatz. That is our minhag. But before we start the Kaddishut Hatz, we must make sure that we have our equipment. So the Baal HaSeder, right away when he comes home, he has to set up the Ka'ara. Now, here they have a set up Ka'ara. It doesn't have to be like this with the holes in it. You could use any plate. It doesn't have to be, because it says Betza over here, Karpas, because they wrote it, it makes it a Ka'ara. Ka'ara means a plate. Doesn't matter if it's plastic or it's metal, but the Ben Ish-Hai says you have to use a plate. You shouldn't put it on the table, the items. You should use a Ka'ara. So now, how do you set up the Ka'ara? So the Ben Ish-Hai says, you take the three matzot. These are three matzot. We're going to use this during the seder. And they go on the top. It's facing the orech. It's facing the leader. So the matzot go on the top. The zerowa, that's the shank. Okay, we don't have one here tonight. But you don't have to know. You know what a shank is? Imagine there's a shank bone. Use your imagination. You put it over here to the right. And then you have the egg. Yeah, we have eggs. This is an egg. The egg you put over here to the left, and then we have maror. For our purposes, this will be the maror. The maror goes right under the matzah. Perfect. Haroset, beautiful. We have a whole piece of haroset over here. This goes on the right side, underneath the maror to the right. Then you have the karpas. This is celery. The celery goes over here. And then we have the hazeret. The hazeret over here, we'll call it like the endives. Or we could put either one, it doesn't matter. You could put the endives in the middle or the maror, either one. One is on top and one is on the bottom. You look in the Haggadot of the Sfaradim, it gives you the way to set up the Ke'ara. The Ke'ara is set up, it stays in front of the Baal HaBayit. You only need one per table. You only need one per table. That's all you need. Now before you make the Kiddush, you have to cover it. So you take the Kisui, you cover it. Like you would do on a regular Friday night, you'd cover the challah. There's no challah tonight. So you cover the bread. You go like this. Okay, beautiful. Right after the ke'ara is set up, we start. Kadesh urchas karpas yachas magid rochsa mosimasa. Maror korech shulachan or. There's an obligation to drink four kosot. The first kos happens to be also the kos of kiddush. Okay, we have the kadesh. There's a lot of laws that the leader of the seder must guide his group at the time of the kadesh. It wouldn't be a bad idea at every juncture for the leader to give a little introduction, what we're about to do, instructions how to do it, in order that everybody's aware. The first thing, everybody should have a cup in front of them. Now, the halakha says that for sure, for the first cup of the kiddush, each cup needs to be rinsed with water on the inside and on the outside. When it comes to the rest of the cups, it's not necessary to wash them each time, only according to the Kabbalah. The Ben Ish Chai says it's proper to wash each cup of the four cups. But from the strict law, a person could have the same cup in front of him the whole time. They fill it with wine, he drinks, they put the next cup, and they don't even have to move it and clean it and so on. But those that have the custom of the Ben Ish Chai, Matovu Manaim, they want to wash each cup. The ladies are very diligent, they clean them, they bring it back, it's fine. But I'm talking from the strict law. The first cup, however, according to everybody, you have to wash. And you have to clean, because this is the cup of Kiddush. That is the first cup. Before you drink it. After you drink it, what are you washing? You drank it already. Again, I'll explain it to you. We'll get to all your questions after Pesach. This over here is the cup, it's empty. Before you fill it with wine, you clean it. You make shetifa and you make hadaha. After you clean it, now you put the wine in it. Now, halakha also says, since we're free people, on the night of the Seder we're free, we don't pour for ourselves. Somebody else should pour for you. So you make a deal with the neighbor sitting next to you. You pour for me, I'll pour for you. You make a deal. So he pours for you, you pour for him. Next, after they pour the wine, you have to make mezigah. What's mezigah? You take some water, whatever it is, 3 drops of water, we know what water is, and you just put 3 drops into the cup of wine. I'll show it to you when I actually do it, but I'm just giving you the seder. Now, it's incumbent to know how much wine you have to drink. I'm going to make it very simple. The poskim say 86 grams. Finished. 86 grams. Nice. Okay, 86 grams. I'm not a scientist. Where do you get 86 grams from now? Go find a scale. Go find things. So I found the scale. Here's the scale. You see this scale over here is in grams. You see it on the video there? See it's on zero? So it's very simple. We take wine and we pour it in. You're looking at it, you see it better than me. Do we get to 86? Perfect. Does it say 86 over there? Perfect 86. You can see it from there. Okay. This is the amount of wine that you have to drink. Now, just so you get a understanding of how much this is, we brought a couple of cups so you can see it. This is a very big cup. See, this cup over here, if you pour the amount, this amount over here won't even fill maybe a little more than half. If you have the plastic cups, where's the plastic cups that we use here? These are the cups we use in Seudah Shlishit. You see these cups here? 7 ounce cup. So you see, it's basically, no, it's more like, no, less than that. It's less than that. They want you to drink about 3.2. This would be the perfect cup, let's say. The amount over here. See, that goes all the way to the top, almost perfect over there. And this is extra even. This is the perfect cup over here. Again, if you look at it in here, it's okay, we spill a little, it's okay. That's what happens, that's the minhag as well. If you look at it on here, the Haggadah has to have wine on it. That's basically the shi'ur, 86. Now, once you have the shi'ur of 86 grams, you have to know how to drink it. The halakha says you have to drink it properly, the whole cup. If you can, the whole shot. And you're supposed to drink it in one shot. Not like some people, they take the cup after the kiddush, they lean back 45 degrees, they take a sip. Oh, genuine, what wine this is over here. What a wine. Who got the wine this year? What a wine. He's swirling it around his mouth. He's drinking it. This is not a wine tasting over here. This is mitzvot. The halakha says you have to drink it one shot. If you can't drink it in one shot, the guy says, "What do you mean? I don't drink like this. I never drank wine before like this." So he can drink it in smaller sips, but he has to drink it quickly, within a few minutes maximum. Not only that, if he can't drink the whole cup, minimally, he has to drink the majority of the cup. Rov kos. So you see how much this course is over here? So Rov kos, he drinks a little bit more than half of the course, and he's yotze. But again, preferably, he should drink the whole course. Can you use grape juice? Absolutely. And for some people, for example, women and children, it's recommended to use grape juice. Some people also, if the wine doesn't agree with them, and they're going to drink a few cups of wine, they're not going to be able to do the mitzvot. Therefore, we tell them also, drink grape juice, do the same protocol, the same shi'ur. When it comes to the last cup, anyway, you're going to sleep, most people, so then use wine, doesn't matter. But if it bothers you, the first three cups, use grape juice, and so on and so forth. But preferably, you should try to use wine. Preferably, it should be red wine. Preferably, you should try to use a wine that's not mivushal, that's not cooked. Of course, if you use a wine that's not mivushal, you have to be careful that the goyim or the goyot do not handle it and touch it. You keep the bottle next to you. Now, what type of course do you need? It doesn't matter. This course has a stem. Some people say, oh, yes, but that you need a stem. Who said you need a stem? If you have a course like this that's flat, also it's okay. There's no protocol on what the shape of the cup has to be. Of course, you shouldn't use a plastic cup. You should use a glass. Now, let's say you're going to use this glass over here. Now you're going to have a problem. Because the halakha says you have to fill it up to the top. And once you fill it up to the top, you have to drink the majority of the cup that you're using. Oh, so now, drinking the majority of this cup, you're drinking much more than you have to. So in the first cup already, you drank 2 kosot. By the time you get to the second course, you drank 4 kosot. By the time you get to the end, it's Purim. So therefore, you go before Pesach. You see, you can't do this on the night of Pesach. Over on the night of Pesach, you come home, let's find the cups now. Now you start measuring cups. The company's waiting, the Ta'anit, the Bechorot fasted, they're all waiting to eat the Haroset, and the guy's in the kitchen in the laboratory making Hajbonot, making all science exhibits. Go to the hardware store this week. Take your cup that looks like this, measure 86 grams, like we did over here, fill it in the cup, it fits, finished. That's the shi'ur. No more, no less. Now, the Ba'al HaBayit must then tell everybody, do not talk during the Kiddush. I am going to fulfill your obligation. Because everybody has to make the Kiddush. Really, you have to make the Kiddush. The Ba'al HaBayit is making it for you. Therefore, you have to listen. The Ba'al HaBayit makes an announcement. Nobody answer Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. That announcement never works. Because there's always one guy, Uncle Harry in the back. Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Hey, this is what I do. I answer Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Whenever I hear Hashem's name, I say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Okay, your wife nudges you. Leave him alone. He's 100 years old, the guy. Leave him alone. That's what he does. But you're really not supposed to answer Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo. Just amen. What happens if they answer Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo? It's okay. B'di'avad, it's okay. But look at Taila, don't answer. But you shouldn't get nervous. The night of the city, you're not supposed to get nervous. You're supposed to be Benahat. The guy said, Baruch Hu, Shemo, leave him alone. See the people, head to you. So therefore, Benahat. Fine. Not only that, the Mekadesh has to say the words properly. He has to know what he's saying or say the words clearly. Then he gets the Shehiyanu. Before he says the Shehiyanu, before he makes the Kiddush, he says, Rabotai, I'm going to make Shehiyanu. When I say the Shehiyanu, I'm having in mind for not only the holiday, but I'm having in mind for all the mitzvot that we're going to do tonight. The Arba Kosot, the Matzah, and the Maror. Because on those mitzvot, we don't make Shehiyanu. So the Shehiyanu is in the Kiddush for all those items. Some people say that the Shehiyanu on the first night of Pesach is even for Sefirat HaOmer. Because we don't make Shehiyanu. Again, you have to know your crowd. You're going to start telling them, and have Kavanah for Sefirat HaOmer. So one of the ladies, hey, what's Sefirat HaOmer? What is that now? Every year, new item? Every year the rabbis are making up new things? I never heard it. We never did Sefirat HaOmer. What's Sefirat HaOmer? So you have to know who you're talking to. But if you're with an educated group, you have them Sefirat HaOmer also, Kavanah for the Shehiyanu. Now, another thing you have to know. Rabotai, we're making Borei Pri HaGefen on this cup. Have in mind that this Borei Pri HaGefen also covers us for the second cup. Because the minhag of the Sfaradim is not to make a beracha, a gefen on the second cup. We rely on the beracha that we made on the first cup. But you have to have kavanah. Now I have to tell you hadush, but not only are you supposed to say we're having kavanah for the second cup, you're supposed to say we're having kavanah for any cup. Why? What happened? The guy made the kiddush. He said, we're having kavanah for this cup, and don't forget to have kavanah for the next one that we're going to drink after the Haggadah. One guy drank, he didn't lean. Oh, now he has to drink again. He said, I didn't have kavanah for this one. This one wasn't in my mind. I was thinking about the one for the Haggadah. Oh, now the Magen Abraham says he's in a big problem. So therefore, we say, I'm having kavanah for this course and any course that I'm going to drink up until the end of the Haggadah. Beautiful. At that point, everybody has their chairs set. Everybody has their wine in their hand. They stand for the Kiddush. The Mekadesh holds the cup. Properly, the way the Kiddush is done, somebody is supposed to hand the Mekadesh the cup with two hands, like this. And the Mekadesh receives it with both of his hands and then transfers it to his right hand. That is the way it's done. Preferably, according to the Beinu Ari, the cup is held by the fingertips. Not some people, they hold it like this. Some people, they hold it like this, like grip it. The tips of the finger over here, in this case, it's underneath the cup, just like that. This is easy. When it has a stem, that's why they make a stem. It's easier to hold it like that. Sometimes on a flat cup, it's more difficult because you have to balance. You have to do a balancing act. Oh, we hope he'll make it to the end of the Kiddush. Okay, but that's basically the way he holds the course over there. That's fine. Now, I didn't show you the mezigah, but the mezigah is basically very easy, just so you know how to do it. Let's say we have the wine over here for practical purposes. Here's your water. The water you put into another cup over here. And with your right hand, you say, Male Yadenu Mebirchotecha. That's it, 3 drops. You shouldn't put more than 3 drops because our wine is already diluted. If you're going to put more than 3 drops, could be it's going to turn into Shakol Yavid Baro. So therefore, you just put 3 drops for the mezigah. Okay, the Kiddush is done. Sabri Maranan, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. After the Kiddush is done, V'kiyemanu V'giyanu L'zeh Manazeh. Everybody sits in their chair. They lean back to the right, to the left. Over here, 45 degrees, and drink. The menag is also that the wine falls on your shirt. If the wine falls on your shirt, you have to drink more wine. You're not yotzef, it goes on your clothes. Yotzef has to go, then your throat has to go down. So you have to be careful. If you lost some, you say, ah, that's it, kapara, I lost it. My luck. It's not your luck. If it fell on somebody or fell on the thing, you have to replenish it in order to drink the proper shi'ur. Beautiful. Right after that, we go on to Urhas. We sing Kaddish, Urhas. Sing it around. Urhas. Now, what's Urhas? Now, I'm going to tell you over here. Urhas is to go wash your hands. Right after the Urhas is the Karpas. Now, if you're running the Seder, you have to give the orders of Karpas before they make Urhas. Because after you make urhas and you wash your hands, you can't talk. So therefore, before everybody runs away after the kiddush, hey, oh, everybody stay here, don't go nowhere. Let me give you instructions now. First, we're going to make the tilat yadayim without a beracha. Hey, without a beracha? Why are we making without a beracha? Daddy, what are we making the tilat yadayim without a beracha for? Because we're eating celery. Eating celery. When do we ever make the tilat yadayim? Hey, these rabbis, every year they make new halakhot. Now, celery you have to wash your hands for? When do we ever wash your hands for celery? The halakha says that whenever you take a food, a fruit, or a vegetable, and you dip it in one of the seven liquids, one of the liquids is water, you must wash your hands. This is not a halakha for Pesach. This is a halakha all year long. It's written in Shulchan Aruch. So we're taking the celery and we're going to dip it in salt water. So you have to tell everybody the rules. Rabotai, when we come back, I'm not going to be able to talk. So I'm telling you now, everybody's going to take a piece of karpas. Specifically, we take celery. Even though according to the halakha, you're allowed to take anything that's borei pri adama, except maror. Ashkenazim, for example, take potatoes. Okay, you want to take a potato? Take a potato. But our custom follows Ari that says to take celery because karpas stands for samech parech, which is the 600,000 Jews that were under servitude. Samich parich. Now, you take the celery. The Bala said it has to tell everybody, you're not allowed to eat more than a kezayit. This is more than a kezayit. That means you take a little piece. You see this over here? A little piece like this. Everybody's hungry. They didn't eat all day long. They can't wait to get to the karpas. So no, you have to control yourself. A little piece like this. And then what? Make sure there's no bugs. Baruch Hashem, our celery usually over here in the States is mostly basically clean. The ladies make sure to clean it before they serve it. Everybody takes a piece of karpas and they have salt water in front of them and they dip it. When they dip it, it doesn't matter if their fingers touch the salt water. That's why you make netilat yadayim. You have nothing to worry about. Somebody, oh, your fingers touched it. Here's the cooties. Bring a different one. No, it doesn't matter. You dip it in the salt, and the ba'la bayit makes the beracha. What's the beracha? Bore peri ha'adama. However, he has to make an announcement. Rabotai, when I make the bore peri ha'adama, I'm having in mind also for the maror. Because we're eating maror later on, and maror is also adama, and this beracha covers that item. You do not have to lean when it comes to the karpas. The menag in halab was not to lean. Therefore, after you dip it in the salt water, you don't have to say zecher lechorba, zecher lekorban hagiga, nothing. You just dip it, you hear the beracha, no baruchu baruch shemo, except for Uncle Harry, you answer, Amen, you eat the karpas, and that's it. Now, the netilat yadayim is a regular netilat yadayim like you would make for bread. One, two, three, One, two, three. Regular bread. After you make the nitay adayim, beli beracha. There's always one wise guy in the kitchen. Ah, netilat yadayim. I'm just joking around. I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Now, if a person made the beracha al netilat yadayim, he shouldn't have. But he did it, he did it. We don't make it because it's a mahloket. So therefore, the person who's running the seder has to remind everybody, no beracha, no beracha. You drill it in their minds. Now when they come back to the table, nobody's talking, it's quiet. Breshut. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, borei pri adama, chut, 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 eat and finished. Kadesh, urhas, karpas, we're done. We get to the yahas. Now we have over here on our ki'ara. Now incidentally, you should always keep the ki'ara filled with merchandise. Even though, let's say, people are going to take the celery from the ki'ara, you should always make sure there's one celery on the ki'ara at least. You don't want to take all the merchandise off. It should be complete till the end of the seder. Now you're going to take your matzot. Avraham and Yaakov. Kohen Levi Yisrael. We take the middle matzah. What makes it the middle? Because we put it in the middle. It doesn't say middle on it. We put it there. Because we put it here in the beginning. Because we put it here in the beginning of the seder, that makes it the middle matzah. You don't have to make a designation or anything. Finish. Now you take it. Now here's where everybody gets confused. This is the hardest part of the seder. How are you going to make a dalid and a vav from a hard matzah? In the history of seder, nobody has ever made a dalid and a vav. Even though everybody's, oh yeah, look, that looks like a dalid, doesn't it? It's a vav. Okay, wishful thinking. Maybe on the Sfaradi matzot, which is soft, you can make a dalid and a vav. But don't get carried away with that. That's according to the Kabbalah. People get so caught up in the Kabbalah, dalid vav. Ask him why dalid vav. Oh, I don't know, they told me dalid vav. I don't do. What does it do? Do dalid vav. They don't even know the reason, but dalid vav. The best way is have kavana. Have kavana. Try to make it as best as you don't have to. Some people, the vav is the bigger piece. The dalid is the smaller piece. How do you crack it? Yahas. Only the balabai does this part. Yahas. Which is the dalid, which is the vav? Oh, this is the dalid. Oh, it looks like a dalid. Okay. This is the vav. Perfect vav. You see a better vav than this? Okay, vav sofit. Anyway, now, once you make the yahas, that's all you have to do in yahas. You're just cutting the matzah. All your kavanah should be one big, one small. That's it. Dalid vav, put it in your head. Here's the small piece. The small piece you put right back in between. The small piece goes back in between. Hazakabaru. Now, what do you do with the big piece? The big piece we place in this mat over here, or this napkin holder. Our minhag from Syria, the balabai takes it, and he places it over his left shoulder like this. Mish'arotam, sirurot, bisimlotam, al shikhmam, ubne Yisrael asu, kidbar Moshe. Minjaye, you know it. They say, Minjaye, where are you coming from? You come from Mitzrayim. Fenrayeh, where are you going to? Yerushalayim. Some have issues, awatak, masa umaror. Okay, then you make, areze halifati, areze kaparati, areze temurati, and you give it to the next guy. And the next guy makes it. And he does it also. By the time you finish over here, you have matzah meal in the afikoman. So everybody has to be extra careful. Not to smash the afikoman. He doesn't understand Arabic. Minjaye, where are you coming from? Mitzrayim. Yerushalayim. Everybody does their version of it. Then the ladies can do it also. What about Kol Isha? They don't have to sing it. They just say, Mish'arotam, Sodom, Mitzrayim. It's okay for the ladies to do it also. Now, after you finish all the Mish'arotams, Nefen Rayeh, the custom is to give the afikoman to one of the children to go hide it. That's the minhag, to go hide the afikoman. Why? We want to keep them interested. Later on, we're going to ask the children to go bring it back. We'll give them a gift. We'll buy them something. So they'll stay up to the end of the Seder. But advice, an adult or an older child should go with them. What happens? The kids, they don't know where they're doing it. They go, one guy puts it in the hamper. One guy puts it in the toilet. But no, one guy put it in the washing machine. The maid turned on the washing machine. The Afikoman now is in the rinse cycle. Where's the Afikoman? We threw it away. It's in the recycling already. Therefore, when you go around with the Afikoman, let somebody know where it is. Sometimes the children go to sleep. Now it's 12 o'clock at night. Bring the Afikoman. Where's Avraham? Avraham? He's in Al-Mim al-Hot. He's sleeping. He's sleeping? Now what? We're going to do the Afikoman now. He didn't tell us. He didn't give us any hints. Therefore, monitor it. Okay, now the Afikoman is gone. We hit it. Chazak Baruch. Kadesh Urhas Karpas Yahas. Maggie, this is two kezayits. This over here and this over here. That means everybody gets a piece of the kezayit. Now, where's the afikoman? The afikoman is the third matzah. That's the only one you have left. The two you gave out already. The only one left on the ke'ara is the. I go back. One thing I have to go back. I'll go back to that now. Exactly. This is your afikoman you took from the hiding place. You gave everybody a little piece of this. And shalom kol tov, everybody's fine. They eat it leaning. Leaning to the left, 45 degrees. If they didn't lean, they have to eat it again. Now, one thing we did not mention, which is important to mention. What happened to this third matzah? The third matzah was sitting on the ka'ara. The 1.5 matzot we gave out for motzi matzah. This third matzah is the korech matzah. This is the matzah that you use for the korech. That means everybody gets a little piece of this matzah for the korech. You cannot have a kezayit for everybody around the table. So the balabai gives, this is for your sandwich, this is for your sandwich, and then he fills in from the box in order to make the kezayit. So again, the top two, the 1.5 is for motzi matzah, the third one is for the korech, and the one in the hiding place is for the Avikoman. Arguably, the Magid is the most important part of the Seder. This is the night where we come to tell over the story. Before we say the Magid, we pour the second cup. Now the second cup is in front of everybody. And we start. We read one paragraph. After we read the paragraph, the halacha says, you take the ka'ara off the table. Why? In order that the children should ask. You want the children to ask, hey, dad, what are you taking the ka'ara off the table for? We didn't start eating. Now, here you have to be an actor. What happens? The people are so serious on the night of the Seder, they have the Haggadah. Okay, Rabotai. Now it says, take the ka'ara off the table in order that the children should ask. Okay, now take it off. And the kid's watching. The father says, hey, don't you have any questions? I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions. Hey, didn't you see? I took the cat off the table. I came out asking. You read it. It says Nagada. Take the table, take it off the table. Wait, you're following Nagada. You cannot show him why you're taking it off the table. You have to make him inquisitive. Okay, Rabotai, that was a good seder. That was a beauty. Okay, yeah, take it off the table. We're finished. I'm full. I'm stuffed. Oh, that was a good one. That's it. Finished. Okay, bring the Mayim Haronim. Bring the Birkat HaMazon. Forget about the kids. Now also the adults. Hey, what are you doing over here? I didn't have the Haroset. You took the God off the table. That's how you're supposed to get them excited. In order they should ask. Our custom from Syria was and is, they give it to a girl of marriageable age, or the closest one of marriageable age. They give it to her as if to say, go out. Go out, leave the house. Meaning, go get married. This is a minhag. And we should fulfill all these nice little minhagim that we have. So they give it to the girl, go get married. When it gives a berachot, arus, ariz, they bring it back. Okay, now, when they bring it in the kitchen, she stays there. Now the child is curious. Hey, Where's everything? Manishtana Laila Zim Kola Lilot. And he asks the questions. And the custom is we let each kid say his version of the Manishtana, and everybody gets candies. The halakha says you're supposed to give your children gifts on the night of the Pesach to keep them curious. In the old days, they used to give them nuts, egozim and kaluyot. Today, it's candies and different type of toys. Fine. After the Manishtana, they bring the ki'ara back in, and they sit down. Now they start the official Haggadah, Avadim Ayinu. But the one that's running the Seder, he doesn't realize that they ask four questions, and now he has to give answers. The Avadim Ayinu is the answer to the four questions. And therefore, the whole night of the Seder has to be geared to the children. The Devrei Torah that you speak has to be on their level, things that they can understand and appreciate. What happens? Guy comes to his Seder, he has a whole stack of Haggadot over here. Rabotai, I'm going to start now. I have the Haggadah of the Brisker Rav. I'm going to open up over here. So follow what the Gemara says. And Tosafot has a question. And there's a Stira and Masechet Zevachim on the Tosafot. And I wanted to answer it according to the Rambam. But it's a question with the Magid Mishneh. So we found Teshuvot HaRashba. And everybody's looking over here. This guy for real over here? What is he talking about over here? This is Pesach. This is Shabbat. What kind of Hadushim is this over here? Where's Paro? Where's Moshe? Where's Aaron? You tell me over here, Pilpulim, and this way and that way, that the guy drank too much wine. Therefore, you have to gear the Hadushim suitable for all audiences, that everybody can appreciate something. You talk about the Makot. You tell them about Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the blood, for example, the dam. The Egyptians, wherever they went, there was dam. But the rabbis say each plague was not one plague. Each plague had five plagues. Because what do you think? When there's blood all over Egypt, there's a smell, and the animals die. And so therefore, they say each plague in Egypt was five plagues, like we read in the Haggadah. So that means there's 50 plagues in Egypt. Because it says in Mitzrayim, it says Etzba. Etzba Elohimi. That means one Etzba, one finger of God, brought 50 plagues. On Yom Suf, it says Yad. Yad is the whole hand. That's 5 times 50, 250 makot on Yom Suf. So therefore, you start studying and preparing the Midrashim, each makah, what it says, and so on and so forth, in order to make it pleasurable for the children. Good. We're not going to say Hadushim tonight. We'll go through the Magid in a different venue. Tonight, I'm just trying to teach you the halachot. Now, you start reading Avadim Ayinu, and you go, I want to tell you one advice. What happens is, in the beginning of the Haggadah, there's a lot of paragraphs that really are introductory paragraphs. I have something to say. And they start giving a whole derash on why Bnei Berak, why five rabbis, why were they? Why did they stay till the morning? All this is very nice, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah you see at Mitzrayim. Now I'm going to say the Rash on the four sons. Ehad Hakam, Ehad Rasha, Ehad Tam, Ajodesh. Why four? Why this guy? Why that guy? These are all introductory chapters. The main Dirashot should be spoken on the Seder per se, on the Yitziat Mitzrayim, on the Emunah, to give the children an awareness, advice. Go buy the book Ma'am Lo'ez. Have it in English. Read all the stories in the Ma'am Lo'ez. Prepare 2-3 pages and give it over to your children. Go buy the Midrash Tanhuma. They make it in English today. Read the Midrash on Parashat Va'era and Bo'en B'Shalach. Pick 3 or 4 chapters over there and give it over to your children. This will be more beneficial than all the other Pilpulim. There's room later, as we'll see, for all the Dirashot. Now, in the Seder itself, you're going to get to the 10 plagues. When you get to the 10 plagues, our minhag is like this. We bring somebody to the table. He's sitting next to the balabayit, or standing, and he holds a cup or a vessel, preferably a broken vessel. See, we take junk. This plastic vessel over here is broken. You see it's broken over here? Broken. Now we broke it. It should be broken. We fill up a cup of wine. Just so you know how to do it. They fill up wine. This you don't need shi'ur, you don't need anything. You don't have to clean the cup, nothing. Just fill up the wine. And the guy holds it like this on the side. He doesn't look. Nobody looks. Even though everybody cheats and wants to see, look, but you shouldn't look. Because this is the wine of Satra Hara. This wine over here is filled with all the shedim and the ruhin and all the stuff you're not interested in. He holds the cup like this, over it. So he starts, Eloheh ser makot, shereh baruchu, amisrihim v'misrahim, ve'eloheh dam. He puts a drop in the bucket. And everybody says, Rahman nesilam, and God save us. Sabardaya, kinim, arob, deber, shehin, arbe, hoshech, barad, hoshech, makat bechorot. Rabbi Yehuda Yarotem Mem Simanim, Dasach, Adash, Be'ahav. And there's a chapter before, Dam, Ve'esh, Ve'tabron Ashan. Altogether 16 times you pour, you follow the Haggadahs in there. Now what do you do with this wine after this? You give it to your enemy and let him drink it. Finish. He won't be your enemy anymore. No, this wine over here, you get rid of it. Immediately, you don't even look at it. You take it into the kitchen, pour it down the sink, and the bucket, if it's broken, just throw it away and finish, never to be seen again. That's our minhag as well. Why do we do it? There's different reasons given to say that the makot that God gave was only a drop in the bucket to what he's going to do, la'atid lavo. Okay, now we continue throughout the Haggadah. Now when it gets to this over here, you don't want to be too lengthy during the Magid either, because you have a lot of work to do. So you should set aside maybe 45 minutes or 35 minutes, an allotted time how long the Magid should take. Because really there's a lot of work to be done in the night, and you don't want to lose the attention of the people. Now comes the main part of the Haggadah, the three items. Pesach, Masah, Umaror. The ladies are obligated in the Haggadah like the men. Preferably they should sit with Haggadah in front of them and read it if they can. If not, to listen or to read it in English. Our custom is that we read it together as a family. The whole table reads it out loud together from the beginning until the end. But when you get to the Pesach, Masah, Umaror, we stop. Say, hey, hold it. Rabotai, this is the three items everybody must say on Pesach. So we read the chapter in English as well, so the ladies understand what we're talking about. Then we read matzah. We read it in English. What's the matzah? Why are we eating it? Then we read the maror. However, there's a mistake that many people make. They say, Pesach, they point to the zerowah. Or they pick up the Pesach. No, you know, don't pick up the zerowah. If you did that, now the zerowah is korban. Now you have to put it in a baggie and put it in your freezer until Mashiach comes. Because you designate it as korban Pesach. You don't do anything for Pesach. Pesach, you keep your hands to yourself. Masah, you point to the Masah, and you point to the Maror. That you can point to, no problem. Matzah zu, they point to the Matzah. Maror zu, they point to the Maror. But when it comes to the Pesach, you don't point to anything. Now we finish. Beautiful. We did Pesach, Masah, Maror. Everybody sings the Dayenu. You'll see in the Haggadah, sometimes you lift up the cup up. It's followed Haggadah. The Balabites of Isha Amda, lift up your cups. You could talk during the Haggadah if it's needed for the Haggadah, but otherwise you shouldn't talk. Every time you lift the cup up, you cover the bread. That's the rule throughout the Haggadah. This is the Afikoman, you need another cover. Visha Amda, cover it. Visha Amda, put the cups down. I put the cups down, uncover it again. Uncover it again. And then you start. Now you get to the end of the Haggadah. Baruch Atah Hashem. Now stop. Time out. What happens over here? The guy running the seder, he has no idea what he's up to now. So he starts reading. He's reading. Oops. Baruch Atah Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem. Guy Israel. Now, no one knows what he's doing. The guy's having a conniption. The guy's flipping out of it. What happened to him? Because he fell off the cliff. He got the guy, Yisrael, there's nothing left. The Haggadah's finished. And it says, drink the second cup. That's why before the Beracha, you have to make kibbutz galuyot. You have to call everybody back to the table. Eh? Everybody come back, Rabotai. All the ones that scattered during the Haggadah, you have to bring them back. Everybody sit down in your positions to make a seba. And you say, Rabotai, I'm going to make the final beracha now in Haggadah. Do not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Answer Amen. Everybody take the cup in their right hand. Hold it up. After I say Gal Yisrael, don't talk. Lean to your left again, 45 degrees. Do not talk. Drink it in one shot. And finish. Now you're done the Haggadah Shel Pesach and you're already done the second course. Now comes the most sensitive part of the Seder. Magid, Rochsa. Now again, Rochsa, what happens at this point? Everybody gets up, goes to the kitchen. Wait, don't go anywhere yet. Before you go to the kitchen, I have to explain to you Motzi Matzah. Because once we wash, we can't talk. Motzi Matzah, there's a mitzvah on the night of Pesach from the Torah to eat matzah. This is a mitzvah on the men and a mitzvah on the woman. Preferably, one must eat two kezayit in the first round. Motzi Matzah, two kezayit. I'm going to explain to you how we measure kezayit so you'll know. Now, what happens is, the balabayit needs to tell everybody how much they have to eat. How much is kezayit? That's a good question. There is a big discussion whenever we measure, are you supposed to measure by weight or by volume? According to the Sefaradim, Sefaradim measure primarily by volume. However, since it's very difficult to measure by volume, we choose the easier method and measure by weight. Because it's easier. That's the way the Kaf HaYim says, that's what Hakam Avadya brings down. But primarily, we measure by volume. Now, on the night of Pesach, it's important to go with volume. Because if you're going to go with weight, you're going to eat much more than you have to eat. It's hard enough to eat the matzah as it is. Now a person is going to come along and eat double the amount he has to eat or 30% more, and then he's not going to be able to do the other mitzvot properly. 1 ounce, if you weigh it, is 30 grams. We have our scale over here. Let's empty it out. We have our scale over here. Let's take a regular matzah. Let's take a whole one just to be... Let's take one from the box. Okay, this is more closer to 50 grams. Okay, so about one matzah like this, they're telling you it's 50 grams. Now, if we're telling you that you have to eat two kezayits, so that's going to be you're going to have to eat one plus maybe a little more, just for motzi matzah, should I say it. However, if you go with volume, the rabbis made calculations. Chambin Sion made a calculation. We're not going to go through how he came to it. But he said that 20 grams is the volume of one kezayit. 20 grams in weight is the volume of one kezayit. So beautiful. Now, you need to have 40 grams then. 40 grams, let's take a little off over here. How much do we have? Bidiyuk, Bahashem Olad. 40 grams, this is it. This is what you have to eat for Motzi Matzah. You see, we saved you all this over here, and we saved you another half of another one. People don't know, they're just eating, they're eating, they're eating. How much, keep on going. The bottom, but that's an end. Keep on going. And we have another one waiting for you. Finish it, we have another one. The guy after one see my size, what's going on over here? You have to know the shi'urim. This is the basic shi'ur for motzi matzah. You take a whole matzah, you cut, how much will we cut over here? See over here, this little remnants over here. Double check it again. Are we right on the 40? Now, preferably you should eat two kezetim. If it's difficult to eat two kezetim, you can eat one kezayit. But that's only if it's difficult. Lechat techila, two kezetim for motzi matzah. Can I give you advice now? Here's the advice of the night. You're going to come now. Everybody made the Nitilat Yadayim. Beautiful. Rochsa, Al Nitilat Yadayim. They came back to the table. They all geared up. Okay, the Baal Abayah takes now the three matzot that he has. He has one hole. He has the small piece. This is broken as well. Okay, you can get another one just to make it perfect. This is the small piece. Okay, here's the two pieces, the small one in the middle. Now the Baal Abayah is holding it like this. He holds all three like this. Now, over here, let me explain to you what's happening. The reason why we have a broken one is because the matzah is called poor man's bread, lechem oni. And it's the way of a poor man to eat in pieces. He never has a whole piece. So therefore, we call it lechem oni, so we break it. But we have a problem. Because if you're just going to have two pieces, you need two holes to make the hamotzi. Always on Shabbat and Yom Tov, you need two holes. This is one and a half. So therefore, we take all three together. We hold all three. We say, the leader says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam HaMotzi Lechem Min HaAretz. He says it when he's holding all three. After he says that motzi, he drops the third one. Because now you don't need it anymore. You had the lechem mishneh already, you covered it. Then when he's holding the top one and a half, he says, Asher Kedeshan L'Mustafa Sivanu Al Achilat Masa. Everybody answers, Amen. He takes a little piece from the top one, a little piece from the bottom one, a little piece like this, nothing. He dips it three times in the salt. You have to be careful because the matzah does not have salt. Therefore, it's mandatory to dip it in the salt. You dip it in the salt. Quickly, he leans. Now he has to give out. He gives everybody a piece from the top and a piece from the middle. The guy next to him. A little piece here. The next guy. Piece here. Piece here. Piece here. Now, the guy next to him says, ah, this is kezayit. This is beautiful. Okay, this is more than this. This is just. So you're tasting from the mitzvah, but you have to eat the shi'ur. Now, what's the guy going to do? He's going to start now, 50 people around the table. Okay. It'll take it all night. Therefore, the proper thing is to be prepared. Erev Pesach, you get baggies. And you take your scale like this before Pesach, you measure, you put this in the bag, boom. Happy birthday, you seal it, one bag. You take another bag, you put the thing, you make 50 bags. Now, before the Hamotzi, you take the bags, you go around to everybody, happy holidays, Kushim Rabot. What is this over here? Matanot Le'Evyonim. Everybody over here gets a kezayit. Now nobody has to worry about anything. It's all there. The kezayit is there already. Now all they need is a little piece from the mitzvah. Open your bags. It's ready, Matt. Like we do over here in the shul. We give you the box of ready-made food over there. This is where we learn it from. Give everybody a ready-made kezayit because it's your obligation. What happens? People are eating. They don't know how much to eat. So most of the people are eating less. And the people that are mahmir are eating twice as much as they should. And at the end, nobody knows if they really did the mitzvah. This way, everybody's yotzeh the mitzvah. Good. Some have the custom, the Ben Ish Chai says, they kiss the matzah. Well, you want to kiss it, kiss the matzah. Don't kiss anybody else. Just make sure you just kiss the matzah. Also, the leader has to tell everybody to have kavanah to be yotzeh mitzvah deoraita. Kavanah to be yotzeh. He has kavanah to be motzi. Excellent. Motzi, matzah. Now we come to, let me just tell you how to eat it. Has to be leaning. You eat the matzah, each kezayit, preferably in 4 minutes. You see some people, they take all the shtei kezayitim, they stick it all in their mouth, like Og Melech HaBashan. All of a sudden, and they swallow it. What kind of achila is this over? It's achila gasa. Eat it like a normal person over here, especially you have guests around the table. The guy's not religious. Look at it. This is the religious people over there. Look at they're eating over here. We never saw people like this. Therefore, eat it the normal guy. 4 minutes per kezayit. So altogether, 8 minutes. You want to put salt on the matzah? Put salt on the matzah. It's okay. But you're not allowed to dip it in any other items that should be eaten as it is. The matzah is called masad de asvata. Nehamad de asvata, it's a cure bread. It's medicine bread, the Zohar HaKadosh says. And therefore, instead of saying, I can't eat it, The person eats matzah on Pesach, he doesn't have to go to the doctor all year long. The matzah itself is healing to the person. If a doctor today, you would go to a holistic doctor. He'd tell you, eat this herb, eat this type of spices, and drink this cup of tea. Even though it's a terrible taste to you, you drink it because you're going to get better. Yeah, the Zohar Kadosh says, God says, eat this amount of matzah on the night of Pesach. This will give you a cure to your whole body. And the person's saying, oh, do I have to eat it? Did I eat enough? Can I have? And the lady's screaming, hey, don't fill yourself with the matzah. We have the ribah coming. Don't eat all this matzah. Wait, we didn't come to eat ribah. The main mitzvah of the night is to eat matzah. Hacham ben Sion used to say, halayla hazeh kulo matzah. That's the mitzvah. Eat the matzah. Everything else is, Hacham ben Sion himself, during the Shulchan Orech, he would eat a kezayit of basar and a few spoonfuls of soup and go eat the matzah. He held every kezayit of matzah that you eat on the night of Pesach, it's a mitzvah de oraita. If you look at the Rambam's words, the Rambam's lashon is mashma that even the minimum is a kezayit, but kol amarbe harei ze meshubach. Okay, now he ate the matzah, he fulfilled his mitzvah. Maror. How much maror do you have to eat? Kezayit. Okay, kezayit. Now we know already how to measure kezayit. We need 20 grams of weight will give us 1 ounce in volume. So we have our trusted scale. Let's take the maror. Here's maror. Now, first of all, the maror has to be checked from bugs. The Ben Ish Chai says there was once a lady, she was checking the maror like this. The Ben Ish Chai said, how much hair do you have in your head? She said, how much hair do I have in my head? I cannot count. He says, you cannot count how much hair you have in your head. That's how much more malkut the family is going to get for eating all these bugs. Every bug is 5 malkuyot, 5 averot, and each avon is 39 lashes. So therefore, it's 5 times 39 lashes. What is that, 195? 195 lashes for each bug. How much bugs are there? There's a million bugs if they don't clean it. So there's more hair that you have on your head, that's how much malkut you're going to get because you're feeding it to them. Therefore, the best thing is to get the checked one or to grow it in hydroponics. And today they have different systems. Or to check it the old-fashioned way. You don't want to make mitzvah baba avera. Okay, now it's checked. Now we put it on the scale. How much? Okay, that looks perfect. 20. Bingo, this is it. Maror. You see the people that think, huh, more. Huh? How much maror do you take? Maror is it. 1 maror is enough, like this. Take your scale, measure it. 20 grams. You have your shi'ur. Now you take the maror and you fold it up as you want. And now you get to the best part. You get to the haroset. Now the haroset, the halakha says you must dip the maror into the haroset. One thing is for sure, we don't lean when it comes to the maror. Because maror is bitter. Leaning represents royalty. Leaning represents freedom. So now what do? We take the maror, halakha, and we dip it into the haroset. Some people, when it comes to the haroset, all of a sudden they become like diggers. They start to go into the haroset, and they're holding it like this. Hey, make the barakah ready. The haroset is falling all over his shirt. You don't scoop out the haroset. You have the whole Pesach to eat haroset. Otherwise, you have to make borei pri ha'etz on the haroset instead of the maror. You dip it a little into the haroset, and then you shake it off. Because you want to taste the maror. And then the leader of the seder, everybody's finished the matzah, you have kavanah to fulfill a mitzvah from the rabbis. And you have kavanah, what? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kedeshanu estav esivanu al achilat maror. Eat it, that's nothing to do. No leaning or nothing, it's very simple. Okay, maror, korech. Now the korech, now the sandwich. People get confused on the sandwich. They don't know how to make the sandwich, because it says korech. So they want to know what goes around what. How much matzah do I need? How much maror do I need? For the korech, you need one kezayit of matzah. How much is one kezayit? 20 grams is one kezayit in volume. What more do you want? This is all you need. Now, how are you going to make korech? You want to take these also over here. It's the same thing. This also counts. These are endives. It's the same thing. The Shulchan Aruch gives five different options for maror. The best one is this, the hassa, we call it, the romaine. You want to use the endives also? It's the same thing. You want to use both? You want to mix and match them? It's fine. But the best one is the romaine as we have it. Now you take over here, you put it. What is it? Okay, more or less. More or less. Now how are you going to make a korech? You're going to go like this. You want to go like this? It counts. You ever see the sushi? Sometimes they put it on the outside, sometimes they put it on the inside. It doesn't matter. You want to make the korech like this, or you want to make the korech, make a sandwich, put it on top. Korech doesn't mean to wrap it around like a lafa bread. You're not making a falafel sandwich, a shawarma. The main thing is over here, just to eat it together. Korech. Doesn't matter how to eat it. You want to put the lettuce on top and the two matzahs on the bottom. Any which way you want, so long as in your pile of stuff here, you have a kezayit of matzah and a kezayit of maror, that's what you have over here. Wait, I'll get to the haroset. You're still with the haroset? As long as you have a kezayit, you want to mix and match them to get it to kezayit, mix and match. It's okay. Even if you didn't have endives, doesn't matter. Whatever one you choose to eat, you want to do both, do both. As long as you have a kezayit of both. Now you say, Zekel, Amikdash, Beyamenu, Yehudash, Kehilela, Zekin, Korcham, Beseba. You dip it in the maror, in the haroset. Here you want to dip a lot of haroset? You can dip. You don't have to shake it off either over here. Now you can enjoy the haroset. You can dip. You want to smear it on like a thing? The minhag is to dip. The minhag, everything in the night is, Halayla is anachla metabbelim. You dip it into the haroset. Don't forget to lean. But again, now there's many things happening where the crowd is on their own. Because once already you're into the motzi matzah, it's b'nei horim. Everybody's on their own now. Now, if you don't give them the laws before, rabotai, this is, you want to be extra orderly, prepare for them the marors. This is the maror beg. You know, happy anniversary. This is the korech beg. And now the seder runs very smoothly. Everybody has three bags on their plate. One with the two kezayits of matzah, one with the kezayit of maror, one with the korech. Now you finish the korech. There's no beracha on the korech. Now, after the korech comes the best part, Shulchan Orech. Shulchan Orech is the seuda. You're supposed to enjoy the Sa'udah. You're supposed to have good wine during the Sa'udah. You're supposed to have good meat during the Sa'udah. You're supposed to say Devre Torah. We sing Pizmonim. The Sa'udah is Sa'udat Yom Tov. It says the Malachim come down. They see us rejoicing on the night of Pesach. They say, Takaz Baruch Hu, look at the Jewish people, how great they are. It's a beautiful time, the Shulchan Aruch. However, one has to be careful not to fill himself up because you still have to eat the Afikoman. So the Bala says, hey, Rabotai, enjoy. The ladies made a delicious dinner, but make sure you save some room for the Afikoman. He goes, oh, don't worry, I have room. I'm not, what do you think over here? Eating is eating. What happens? By the time the Afikoman comes out, the Afikoman, wow, we didn't calculate. We told you not to eat. We told you to save room. But what's the minimum? Why the minimum? Therefore, make hashbon. Don't stop when you're full. The Rambam says you always have to stop before you're full because it takes your brain 20 minutes to calculate how much your stomach has. You ever fill your car up with gas? You fill it up, the gas stops, but you still see the gauge moving. It takes the gauge a few seconds to realize that it's on full. It takes the brain a few minutes to realize that the stomach is on full. So then we eat. Now we overeat. Therefore, Rambam says, always before you full stop, to let the gauge go to full. Kol sheken on the night of Pesach. Now you finish the Shulchan Aruch. Yes. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that. During the Shulchan Aruch, or before, our custom is, number one, to take the betzah, the egg which is on the ke'ara, somewhere under here. They cut it up. They put some salt on it. Zecher, the korban hagiga. That's it. Nothing fancy. You don't have to lean. You have to do nothing. You eat it. Zecher, korban hagiga. The shank, there's different minhagim. Our minhag clearly is not to roast it. And if we do roast it, we boil it first. Because we don't want to roast it that it should resemble the Korban Pesach, which was roasted. So if it's going to be roasted, they should boil it first, like the ladies do. Now, some people eat the zirawa. You want to eat the zirawa? Baruch haba, it's delicious. But you don't say anything. Some people, they take the zirawa, ah, zeh, le Korban Pesach. Now you can't eat it. It says in the Haggadah, Asafikoman. Some Haggadot have the mistake. They say, take Zerawa and say, Zecher Korban Pesach and eat it. You don't say nothing. You just take the Zerawa and say, oh, delicious. I'll talk about who made the Zerawa. Then eat it. Finish. That's the custom of Betza and Zerawa. You have to know, once you eat the Afikoman, you can't eat anything anymore. You cannot have anything after the Afikoman except water. You cannot have soda. You should not have tea. Even coffee, we'll discuss. Dessert, for sure not. That's why the custom on the night of Pesach is Apikoman. Apikoman means bring the dessert. After the dessert is finished, everybody's finished, everybody's done, nobody wants to eat anymore? Yes. Now bring the Afikoman. That's Safun. Safun. Now the kid goes, bring the Afikoman. The Balabai takes out the Afikoman. You see this piece? There's nothing in our religion that has more sigulot than this piece of Afikoman. There's so much holiness in Afikoman that tzaddikim, they take a piece, they hold it with them. When they go on a boat, there were stories where the boats were in the high seas. They took the Afikoman, they threw it in the water. The water stopped. Ladies were in pregnancies, terrible things. They gave them the Afikoman. They bit on it. The baby came out. Nahim to Mishalom. What they don't say about the Afikoman. The enemies, boom, they throw the Afikoman. Everything the Afikoman. Therefore, it's very special. But what happens? Nobody wants to eat it. Now it becomes a rabbit's foot. They bring out the Afikoman. Oh, send me a piece, send me a piece, send me a piece. Everybody puts it in their pocket. The mitzvah is to eat the Afikoman. You want to save a little piece, you put it in your pocket to save a little piece. But the main thing is to eat. Now, there's not enough for everybody to eat from this. How much do you have to eat for Afikoman? Preferably, 2 kizitim. Preferably. Preferably. If you cannot because you're full, 1 kizayit suffices. So again, the minimum amount of kizayits you have to eat on the night of Pesach is 3. 1 for the motzi matzah, 1 for the korech, 1 for the afikoman. If you're a gibor, 2 for the motzi matzah, 1 for the korech, and 2 for the afikoman. If you could push yourself, again, it's medicine. That's why I told you, Chacham Ben Tzion would minimize his other eatings in order to eat the full amount. How much grams is that on the scale? We said 40 grams is going to be the proper volume. There you go. Safun. Now I finished the Afikoman. Now after the guy finishes the Afikoman, all of a sudden the wife comes out. Says, wait, don't make Birkat HaMazon. We forgot the jello. There's always room for jello. There's always room for pot roast. But what do you mean the jello? I made the jello. We forgot. Grandma made the jello. Everybody, before Birkat HaMazon, you have to have jello. Ma, you're not allowed. The rabbi said, Afikoman, Afikoman. Jello for dessert tomorrow morning. You cannot have it. Halacha says, after Afikoman, nothing except water. Now we make Birkat HaMazon. What happens before Birkat HaMazon? 3rd cup. Pour the cup. Everybody gets a cup in front of them. The leader of the Seder has to tell everybody, Rabotai, do not forget Ya'aleh V'Yavo. If you forget Ya'aleh V'Yavo on the Birkat HaMazon on the night of Pesach, you have to repeat the Birkat HaMazon. So therefore, you must remind them, Ya'ale v'yavo.
Okay.
Takes the kosa and then everybody lifts the kosa. Havlam v'nevrich, l'makak l'isha, v'shut shama, v'shut pesa, v'shut zeh, baruch, shacharam, v'shlot v'chayinu, baruch, et Hashem, da-da-da-da-da-da. During the Birkat HaMazon, you make mezika in ala kol. After you finish, say shalom v'romav. Shalom v'kosev v'amen. You wait till everybody finishes. If you're eating by somebody's house, Arachmani, Barech, Bala Baita Zeh, Bala Seuda Azot, you say Birkat HaOreyah. Now what happens? Everybody's finished. Savri Mararam. Ayim. Baruch Ata Hashem, Nukenu Melech HaOlam, Bore Priya Gefe. Everybody leans back, and they drink the kos of Birkat HaMazon. Now, when you made that Bore Priya Gefen, you had to have in mind, that's not only for the third cup, it's for the fourth cup also, because the fourth cup you're not making a beracha. So the leader has to tell everybody before Birkat HaMazon, Abotai, when I make the beracha and Gefen, it's for this cup and the coming after. Now they finish. Before you start the last part, which is the Hallel, you have to fill the cups again. That's Kos Revi'i. You want to hold the cup during the Hallel? That's fine. You want to keep it next to you? That's also fine. You read the Hallel. There's a mistake that many people make in the Hallel. I'll clarify it now. At the end of the Hallel, there's a chapter called Yehallelucha. It's like we say in the end of the Hallel, in Rosh Chodesh or the Hagim, Yehallelucha. וישבחו את שם כבודך, כי לך טוב להודות לשמך, נעים זמר מעולם ועד עולם, ברוך אתה השם, מלך מהולל בתשפחות. Some of the Haggadot mistakenly put the word Amen over here. Because normally we say, ברוך אתה השם, מלך מהולל בתשפחות, Amen. But in the Haggadah של Pesach doesn't belong. I'll explain to you why. The reason why you normally say Amen over here is because there's a beracha before. Anytime there's a beracha before and a beracha after, the second beracha gets an amen after it. But in the Haggadah, there's no beracha before the Hallel. We start Hallel, Hallelujah, Hallelujah of the Hashem. And therefore, since there's no beracha before, there's no amen over here. So we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Olam Tishpachot. Everybody who's listening to the beracha answers amen. But the person himself doesn't say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech Olam Tishpachot, amen. You don't answer amen to your own berachot. But those that are listening, of course, say Amen. After you answer Amen, you take the fourth cup, you lean again on your left side, and you drink it. Preferably, you should drink the whole course. If you cannot drink the whole course, you drink Rov course. After you drink that cup, you make the Beracha Acharona. The Beracha is Ala Gefen Val Priya Gefen. It's in the Mahzor. Now you did your Hallel. Now you think it's over. That's it. Hallel, Nirtza, Hashem should accept our tefillot, Beratzon, Tiktikabas, Lotana, Ba'otana, Im Sotorum, Atun, Kupit Yisrael. Harambam says, it's an obligation to stay up the entire night and study the laws of Pesach and Haggadah, Ad Shetachtefen Nushina, until he falls asleep. That means a person, after he finishes, if he's tired to go to sleep, he goes to sleep. If he still has energy, he stays up and reads until his eyes become heavy on him, then he goes up to sleep. That's what Hacham Avadya writes. That if you're planning on staying up to read the Haggadah more in depth, you're allowed to have coffee after the Afikoman. But if you're not planning on staying up, then just to have a coffee or an espresso after the Haggadah, you go into the living room, now you talk a little, give her the coffee, give her the crumpets. No. Only if you're planning on staying up, he allows you to have the coffee or the tea. Otherwise, ma'ayim, kiriyat shema ala mita, betof talinu b'rahamim takitsu. Ze seder halayla, from the kadesh until the nirtza. Once a person knows the rules now, how to do it, and he knows exactly the measurements, now he's educated. Now he's able to give the proper guidance. It's your responsibility. When you're inviting people to your house for the Seder, or you're part of a group, somebody has to be the one that puts it on his shoulders, because nobody knows anything. Everybody's education, unfortunately, is from elementary school, what they told us. We didn't upgrade our information. I hope, as a result of tonight's model seder that we did, with visual aids, it'll be more clear to the people exactly what's expected and what's responsible upon us to do. Rabotai, we have a week. This year, tonight's Monday night. Be'azat Hashem. We have 1 week to practice and rethink all these ideas that we said tonight. And Yiratzon Be'azat Hashem. Next Monday night, if the Mashiach doesn't come by then, our seder will be a seder that we could say at the end, Nirtza. Nirtza means it was accepted by God. V'yiratzon shenizkeh la'asot et ha-seder hazeh b'Yerushalayim ir ha-kodesh, b'binyan bet ha-bechira, b'mera b'yamenu, amen v'amen. Rabbi Hananya ben Hakasha omer, לסך הרבה לכל עסקו ישראל, לפי חקר בנדטות שנאמר, לא חפש למען צדקו, יגדיר תורה וידיר.
Amen. All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleisher Show. That was Rabbi Eli Mansour on the Seder. I know that's not a very usual thing for me to play such a long audio of somebody else, but it is really an audio that I have recouped from getting lost, and I think it's an incredible class to prepare us for the Seder night. I hope you enjoyed it. I am at the Matzah Baking Factory in Beit El with the beautiful folks of Ma'ale Adumim, and we are baking the matzahs, and we are baking the matzahs to eat. This Seder night, but also to continue a tradition of thousands of years, a continuation, really a link through the generations, through this personification of the narrative, through this matzah. So simple, and yet so not simple. So plain, and yet so laden with meaning. And the meaning is that we are born as a nation, we exodus from slavery. That is a personal, national success, but it's also, of course, a message to all peoples about liberty and freedom and about becoming the people that we're supposed to be, which is a light unto the nations. That's when it really was a light unto the nations, a moment of a burst of freedom, a burst of a beginning, a burst of time, where time begins, where there's purpose to this world, where it's not just cyclical slavery and endless meaninglessness, right, the unbearable lightness of being, but instead it's actually meaningful life. And that's what I think we're trying to convey here at the Land of Israel Network. And that's what Passover is about. It's about the beginning of a meaningful life. That's what I would call the show today. Beginning a meaningful life. Beginning a meaningful life. All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleisher Show. Thank you, Rabbi Eli Mansour. Thank you, Moshe Herman. Thank you, Tabitha. Thank you, Ben Bresky. Thank you, God Almighty. Have a great Pesach, everybody. Have a happy, happy Exodus. Shalom. God bless you. Lots of love from the Land of Israel. Stay tuned. Stay connected. Stay part of the story wherever you are. God bless you and shalom.
Experience the best-kept secret in the Land of Israel, the Arugot Farms and Retreat Center, headquarters of the Land of Israel Network. Join Aria Bromlitz and Jeremy Gimpel, May 6, 2019, to encounter the Judean frontier. Our Passover visit is already sold out. For more information, email tours@thelandofisrael.com. That's tours@thelandofisrael.com to visit the Arugot Farms.